So last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to develop intelligent senses. And last week, we briefly went through the visual awareness meditation. And in that, we learned how a mere act of seeing something can be transformed into an experience of enchantment. And we learn how we can do that by simply noticing the emptiness and stillness of space that surrounds the object that you are looking at. So that's for making the sense of vision intelligent. Simply getting in touch with the emptiness and stillness of space that surrounds all objects. Developing panoramic vision is how you experience enchantment. Similarly, the sense of hearing, and today we did a brief meditation on how we can transform the mere act of hearing into the experience of entrainment. And in the meditation, you tried to what you were trying to do was you were trying to not listen to the music, the sound forms, but simply stay anchored in the undercurrent of silence. Simply stay in that gap so that you don't get carried away by the music or the sound form. And it's very difficult to kind of experience that in the very first trial. And unfortunately, I couldn't find my track which I used for the first stage of entrainment hearing. And so I had to use something as a substitute. And the soundtrack we used is too fast to stay in touch with the undercurrent of silence. But there are musical tracks where there is enough gap between each sound form, each musical note, so that you get that opportunity to constantly slip into the gap, constantly stay in touch with silence. When we do that, we, for some reason, become entrained with what we hear. Sinking, right? We sink with what comes to the ears. And there are profound implications of that, sinking with what we hear. Number one, we become equanimous to whatever we experience in terms of sound. Whether it is the words of praise or the words of criticism. Words are sound forms actually, right? But because we get carried away by those sound forms, we are flattered when somebody praises us, and we are intimidated when somebody criticizes us, right? And try this at home, you know, when you have an argument with a spouse, you are hearing the sound, right? But as soon as the opportunity arises, quickly slip into the gap of silence between the words. You'll realize that you will not be intimidated by the spouse's criticism or argument. It just so happens that you stop clinging to what you hear because you are anchored into the undercurrent of silence. It's that letting go, that release from clinging to what you hear. And your portal for that release is the silence. There is nobody who speaks continuously, right? In the sense that there is never a continuous stream of sound in any conversation. Is there?
I know some people talk pretty fast.
Even then, technically speaking, if there was no gap of silence, there wouldn't be any word forms.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will be just...
You have to make a switch between the words.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, it will be a continuous stream. It's noise then. It's just noise, right? There's always that gap. Whether it's Mozart's beautiful or Bach writing his music, or somebody giving a lecture, or somebody is just arguing with you, whatever it is, you know, there's always that opportunity to quickly slip into that gap. And miraculous things happen. So we are, what we are doing is we are neutralizing our sense of hearing. We are developing equanimity in this, in our hearing. And that can happen not by will. You know, this is the difference between what we are doing here and what positive thinking or neuro conditioning might be. There's no will involved in here, you know. Will meaning you are talking to your spouse and then you decide, I'm not going to react. Period. You know, that's will. Whatever it is, I'm not going to react. It doesn't work that way, you know. Will can only take you to a certain level. If we really want to not react, then we have to entrain. Listen but not listen. How do we entrain? Use silence as your portal. You know? Just like you use space as your portal to enchant, you use silence as your portal to entrain. And then equanimity arises by itself. You know? That's how we remove, when we allow equanimity, which is the sublime state of mind, when we allow equanimity to develop by itself, to arise by itself, then there is no chance of ego formation. Otherwise, meditators also have egos, you know? And it's hard to detect. And so we make our practice foolproof by using silence as our portal, by using space as our portal. And they're always there. Space is ever existing, omnipresent. Silence is always there. It's the undercurrent of everything, right? In terms of sound. In fact, the reason why we were anchoring our attention in the ears and trying to feel that continuous stream of humming sound, and it comes with practice, you can actually hear silence. It sounds a bit paradoxical, but you can actually hear silence. Once you hear that very subtle humming sound and stay with it, then you are liberated from the sounds of the world, you know. Whether what you hear is loud or soft, melodious or harsh, praise or criticism, doesn't matter. You're liberated from that. It's not that you're castrating your sense of vision. That's not the case either. It's not that we are becoming insensitive. We are becoming super sensitive. In the sense that like this soundtrack. If you sink into the sound forms, then you will enjoy that music more than simply getting carried away by it. You know? When we hear something very melodious, we get carried away by it, right? We feel pleasure. We feel happy, right? There is that experience. But there is another experience above that, the experience of entrainment. The same musical track we can enjoy even more by entraining. And that's the whole idea. We are just trying to experience things at higher level. We are not castrating our senses, you know. And that's the meaning of pratyahara. I don't know the traditional word. Pratyahara, have you heard the word pratyahara? Right? Some traditions, they actually kill their senses. It's ascetic practices, right? Where they will put something on their eyes and not look at anything at all. Or they will purposely eat things that are extremely disgusting taste and disgusting smell. And so they're trying to castrate the senses, you know. And that's called pratyahara in yogic practices. But that's not what the ancient masters wanted us to do, you know. They wanted us to liberate ourselves from the senses, to not get carried away by the senses, so we can experience things at higher level. Mostly our senses we use for entertainment, right? Can we not go for enchantment and entrainment rather than just entertainment? Can we not evolve? That's the whole idea.
Space is the basis for vision. Without space, there is no seeing. Similarly, without awareness, you know, all this other things are not possible. Body, mind, consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? If that is possible, then music is possible without silence. You know, song is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the parallel, that's the understanding I'm trying to derive.
Right, that's a great understanding. Yeah, space and silence, Om Shanti. You know, there is this old mantra, Om Shanti.
Mm-hmm.
If you really explore that mantra, there is tremendous power in it. It constantly keeps us aware of space. Om Shanti, silence. You know, if we can learn to stay in touch with space and silence, you really don't need to do much, you know. These are the two most incredible portals for higher levels of experiencing, for spiritual evolution. So you're absolutely right.
I consider my existence as a sound in the silence of awareness.
Silence of awareness. Interesting. In fact, another aspect of sensual experience is when we see, we think we are seeing, right? But we are actually feeling the vision. When you study the methodology of sensuality, the phenomenology of sensuality, you'll realize that when you're actually seeing something, you're feeling the vision. When you're hearing something, you're feeling the sound. You know? When you are smelling something, you're feeling the aroma. When you are touching something, you're feeling the tactile data. So on and so forth. In conventional language, we say we see, hear, smell, taste, and so on and so forth. But actually, you say, no, I'm hearing something, right? you're actually feeling it. And there's profound implications to understanding that, and it goes to your thought of silence of awareness. Another reason why we are using space and silence as our portals is to realize this phenomenology of sensuality, that when you see something, you're feeling the vision. That feelingness of vision will come only if you're in touch with space that surrounds the object. If you just get hooked onto the object, you get carried away by the object. If you get hooked onto sound, you get carried away by the sound.
So another word for feeling may be experience.
Feeling is the fundamental element behind experience. Right.
Space.
You have to feel the space.
Or silence. Ultimately, does silence have any vibration?
Exactly. Once we start feeling the vision, once you start feeling the sound, you will realize that it's vibration. That's the whole idea is to realize the quantum mechanical reality of sensuality or of mind. You know, like Don, that book you gave me, it talks about this, that the quantum mechanical reality of mind, that it's ultimately the vibrations, like you said. And in ancient literature we talk about, right, vibrations, the subtler and subtler vibrations. And in the book, the author talks about how, and it leads to that string theory where the fundamental element is the string, superstring theory, right? What is a string? It's the fundamental, subtlest form of vibration, and a quark is that subatomic particle on that string. That was very enlightening to me. That
to me too. To think of everything in terms of a vibration,
right?
Pretty neat. It relates back to a lot of the ancient texts.
Exactly, and thanks to quantum mechanical theory, we can actually have a mathematical model for it, right? Every single quark is you're experiencing your senses on that wave of vibration, you know. But I'm reading it. It doesn't become wisdom unless I experience it. And meditation is all about that. Can you experience whatever is written in the quantum mechanics? Can you experience the quark? That's the bottom line. You know, a physicist will see the quark on his screen, right? Am I right? He only knows about the quark or electrons or protons only when he bombards the particles and explodes them and then see them on the screen. He's not actually experiencing them. That's what separates a spiritual scientist from a modern scientist. That's what separates knowledge from wisdom, you know. Knowledge doesn't transform us.
Exactly.
It doesn't purify the mind. Wisdom does. And the only way to develop wisdom is to experience. So we are learning to experience the quantum mechanical reality by feeling the vision, by feeling the sound. And to do that, we are using space and silence as our portals. So. Pat?
Me? Why me? Actually, I just received an interesting email. I would like to forward it. Similar to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The email is called the scientific analysis of a mantra.
Mm.
Why it works and how it works. And if it will interest you, I'll be glad to.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
There's an interesting thing about it. It talks about not just the mantra as a mumbo jumbo sound.
Right.
But he goes into the details of the sound.
Right.
And sound and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And how, from the quantum mechanical point of view, you're talking about how the energy transforms the power and why it works.
Right. Excellent. It's pretty much, you know, the same phenomenology, you know. And
that's the vibration.
Vibrations, right. Yeah. We are learning here to feel those vibrations. You cannot say, okay, I'm going to feel the vision. I'm going to feel the sound. You cannot say that. If you want to feel the sound, slip into the gap of silence. If you want to feel the vision, if you want to feel Sam, look around the space around Sam, not just this body, this lump of matter. If you want to feel a rose, you know, if you want to really wholesomely get enchanted by the beauty of the rose, you feel the emptiness and stillness of the space that surrounds the rose.
You have to have a space to define the rose itself.
Right.
You can't have it without the space.
What you can have is getting carried away. If you're not in touch with the surrounding space, then you get carried away. Like, as simple as that.
Like you get carried away by music.
Yeah, like we get carried away by music. Then you become crazy, and then you are one of those fans who spend thousands of dollars, and the intelligent people are the pop stars and the media who make money off of you, while you suffer, you know.
Actually, when you stop playing the track, I could still hear it for a few moments. That probably is getting carried away by the. After you stop the track,
mm-hmm.
for a few moments, I don't know how many, but I could still
hear
or make it up in my head.
Well, that's actually related to the sixth sense, which we'll start talking soon. But getting carried away means becoming crazy about things. You know, there's so much hysteria and craziness. People just get so carried away. I'm not saying don't like I tell my daughter, don't listen to Hannah Montana. You enjoy it, but don't get carried away by it. Like, you know, crazy, oh, Hannah Montana, and then she just starts screaming and, you know, turn on the TV, and it's like that hysteria.
That's the age.
Even I have friends who are crazy about stars and stuff, you know. So, enjoy without becoming enslaved, you know, that's the bottom line. So.
I think it's beyond the age.